Your life is not a series of random events over which you have no control. You're not subject to forces of blind fate. You're not at the mercy of people who oppose you. No, you're in the hands of a God who has prepared your life beforehand so that you could walk in it.
Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and today Don wraps up our series, Now We Thank Our God, with part two of a message titled, Toward True Thanksgiving. Last time, Don highlighted God's work of salvation, bringing His chosen ones out of darkness and into the kingdom of Christ. Today, Don will focus on the life God has bestowed upon us as a result, truly an abundant life, one to be thankful for. So have your Bible again open to Ephesians 2 as we join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
In contrary to the former wicked way that you used to think about God as a harsh taskmaster, as someone austere, or maybe some, you know, in a different way, a kind of a grandfatherly figure and, you know, benign and all of that. No, now you see that a holy God had mercy and compassion upon you, that He showed kindness to you in your sin, and that out of a love in His heart, not in response to a love in your heart, but out of a love in His heart, He showed this love and mercy in order to bring you into His salvation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. We love because He first loved us, verse 19 says. And so would you give thanks? Would you give true thanks? Would you respond to God rightly? Remember His mercy upon you. Remember the greatness of the depth of His kindness, His mercy, His compassion. And let that stir your heart to praise. Because you see, beloved, when you look at the totality of this passage, it's not just that God forgave all of your sins, although that's wonderful and marvelous as well. But Scripture describes you as being under the domination of the devil, being in the domain of Satan, being under the autocracy of the father of lies who was inflicting harm upon you and desired the doom of your soul. A supernatural enemy having power over you, having blinded your eyes heretofore to the truth of the gospel. You're defenseless. You were defenseless under that reign of Satan. Look at verse 2, Ephesians chapter 2 with me, just to remind you. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You were blind and powerless under the domination of the devil. And what did God do? He came and He broke those chains, metaphorically speaking. He came and He freed you from that domination of a wicked taskmaster that you could not free yourself from. And God intervened and graciously saved you, not just from sin, but saved you from the domination of Satan. And not just freed you and then wound you up and let you go. As He freed you from Satan, He brought you into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought you into a perfect union and raised you up and shared the fruit of the resurrection with your soul. So that now you have a principle of eternal life at work in you that can never be extinguished. A flame burning inside your heart that can never be put out. Because it is a flame instilled by the Holy Spirit Himself. God rescued you from coming hell. Has you now, keeps you now, and has the intention, which will most certainly be fulfilled, to perfect that work and to bring you into glory and share that with you for the unfolding ages of ages into all of eternity, never to end. Blessing upon blessing, never to be never to be tortured by Satan, never to be tortured by sin, never to be tortured by an accusing conscience evermore, never to be under the domination of a false religion that laid rules upon you that you could never fulfill and never meet. All of this from the gracious hand of God. Beloved, would you give true thanks? Remember that God saved you and that this was a gift. It was not on anything that you did. Look at verses 8 and 9 with me. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. The emphasis in this verse, there's both a strong negative and a strong positive in it. Not of yourselves, not of works, but of God comes the gift. From God comes the gift. By grace, not through yourself, not through works, so that you wouldn't boast. You know, one of the things about being a Christian is that you're glad not to call attention to your salvation in the sense that you're glad not to take credit for it. You're glad to disown any sense of merit, glad to disown any sense of works that contributed to your salvation. And instead to give all of the glory to God because you realize that you are saved because of a great act of love, a great purpose of grace that was established before the foundation of the world, has worked itself out in time and will culminate in glory. I say we should be thankful, don't you? And we remember. We remember that this wasn't simply a gift that God established by, you know, erasing sin on our ledger and then writing something in on the positive of our ledger as though it were an accounting entry. No. This is a gift that came at the price of blood. This was a gift that came at great self-sacrifice from our Lord Jesus Christ. This was a gift that He paid for at the cost of His own life. We are justified in the sight of God, by which we mean God has declared us righteous. God has forgiven our sins and imputed to us a perfect righteousness, which is always availing to enter boldly into His presence. We have been justified as a gift of grace. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. He says, "You were justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith." God publicly slew His Son. Christ was publicly slain on the cross, and His blood was publicly shed as the price of our redemption, as the sacrifice that turned away the wrath of God. The physical agony of Christ was real. He was a real man suffering real pain, shedding real, literal human blood on a real, literal human cross. He was no phantom. He was no ghost. This was a real man, God in human flesh, suffering for you, fully identified with your humanity, with the exception of the sin. And yet this one on the cross was God Himself, God incarnate, giving His life an infinite value, which was able to cover the payment of sin for everyone who would ever believe in Him. And to cover the vast, infinite depth of your own guilt, Christ drank the full bitter cup, drank every last drop of judgment that was coming upon you, interceded on your behalf, interceded for sinners just like you, drank it all up. Why? Because of His love, His grace, His kindness. Because Christ preferred to pay it Himself than to see you pay it. A debt that you could never pay. He preferred the pain of eternal judgment in His own soul the full weight of infinite eternal judgment being poured onto his infinite being. He preferred that to losing any one of his sheep like you. You see, we look to the cross, we look to Christ, and we bow low, don't we? We humble ourselves before him. Not simply because he's greater than us, but because he has given us a gift that we could never deserve. He has given us a gift of grace, and he paid dearly for it with his own blood and life. And so we're thankful. We have so many complementary emotions. There's joy. Oh, my sins are forgiven. Praise God. There's humility. Oh, Christ, I didn't deserve this. There's wonder. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? But in a special way, in our hearts, there's gratitude. Sheer gratitude for a gift that we never could have earned, that we certainly didn't deserve. God has not dealt with you, Christian, according to your sins. He's not looking on you in your sin now. He's looking on you through the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, I accept that one in the Beloved. With no further works to do to complete it, nothing on your part to boast in, simply to take thanks, to take refuge, to glory in the perfect grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which brought to us a perfect salvation which can never be taken away. That's why we're thankful. That's why we love him. And so if you would give true thanksgiving, look back at what you used to be. Look back to Calvary and thank God for his indescribable gift. There's one more thing that we can say about this from the text, just very, very briefly. You look back, you look ahead. You look ahead. We've talked about looking ahead in the sense of the eternal glory to come. I'm going to focus on something a little different here going along with the text. Look ahead in this sense, that God saved you not only for eternal glory. He did, and that's the ultimate consummation of our salvation. But even here, even in your flesh, even in these brief window of years that the Lord has given to you to live out, God has not only saved you in the past, he's planned your life now. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Walk being the course of life. God, Christian, do you remember this? It's so easy to forget, especially when life is not going the way that you would want it to go. So easy to forget this. But to remember that God, in his wisdom, in his love, as part of his gift of salvation to you, has ordered the steps for you to walk in your Christian life. The life that you have now, for all of its blessing, all of its joys, its sorrows, its tears, and everything in between, God has given you the life that you have now, with the intention that you would live through this life, that you would live that life and bring glory to the one who saved you. Your life is not, Christian, your life is not a series of random events that you have to guess at. You don't have to look back at your past with regret and say, oh, only if I had made another decision. Oh, only if I hadn't said that word and life would have gone differently for me. No, the salvation that God has given to you with all of the grand glories of Christ included in the midst of that is the fact that God has given you the life that you have now with the intention to bless you in it, to guide your steps in it, and for you to glorify Christ in everything that comes your way. Your life is not a series of random events over which you have no control. You're not subject to forces of blind fate. You're not at the mercy of people who oppose you. No, you're in the hands of a God who has prepared your life beforehand so that you could walk in it. That changes your whole perspective on why you live and what you're living for. It takes away all fear of the future. It takes away all regret over the past. To just simply step back and realize that what Christ purchased with His blood was a comprehensive salvation for you that delivered you from sin, and included in that was a life that He had appointed for you to live. That the sorrows of life would draw you closer to Him. In dependence, in trust, in obedience. That the joys of life, the successes of life, the good things of life would be that which you would turn and give thanks to Him. He prepared it all in advance, ordered it all so that your steps would be with Him. That's a great place to be. To be in Christ, to be secure, to be forgiven, to be on the road to heaven. And on top of that, to have all of your steps ordered by Him, never outside of the realm of His providence, always being under the careful, watchful, loving eye of the One who numbers every hair on your head, who knows when the sparrow falls to the ground, then supremely watches you even more. That's a great place of blessing, beloved. So look ahead. Look ahead even in your earthly life and say, my life is in the hands of the same gracious God who saved me. He will most certainly continue to be gracious to me. Listen, beloved, the biblical role, the biblical way, the biblical argument of thinking about these things is this. If God has done the greater thing for you in saving you eternally from your sin, then will He not surely with that give you all other things as well? Give you all that is necessary for life and godliness? Will He not order your steps in order to bring blessing to you in the end? You see, you can give thanks because you are eternally saved and because God has ordered life in a way that is guaranteed to bring blessing to you. That is guaranteed to be a manifestation of His goodness and kindness and mercy as an overflow of the mercy, of the same mercy and kindness that saved you in the beginning. Say it one different way. Recognizing that we have people on every end of every conceivable spectrum of life here. Some at the beginning, some closer to the end. Some in sorrow, some in joy. Some with great talents, some with other talents. Some blessed with prosperity, some struggling to make ends meet. Everywhere along the line, beloved, what I want you to see is this. And let this be an encouragement to your heart. Let it be that which renews your sense of trust, of confidence, and motivates you to continue to live. God has uniquely prepared your earthly life for you. He has given you a life. He's given you a platform on which no one else can glorify Him but you. And God, remember the things that we've looked at in our systematic theology study. God did this in according to His wisdom, His perfect wisdom, in His perfect love, in His perfect kindness, His perfect holiness. There was no mistake. There was no errant factor entered into your life that was contrary to God's ultimate purpose for you. Beloved, God has appointed your relationships, the good ones and the bad ones, your activities, your joys and sorrows in a way that is uniquely designed for you to fulfill. Look at the text with me again. You just take in all of the details and circumstances of life. And in chapter 2, verse 10, we see we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. But can you not see how all your desires have been granted in what He's ordained for you? Beloved, look back and give thanks for your great salvation. Look ahead in your steps of life and realize that God has ordered them to keep you, to bless you, and that even your deepest sorrows, even the worst of tragedies and unexpected occurrences in your life, ultimately, beloved, are given to you from the hand of God to extend further blessing to you in the end. Every one of them, without exception. God never deals with His people but to bless them, because His goodness would not allow Him to be any other way. And we wrap this up as we prepare for the Lord's table. The love that went to the cross, the love that ordained your steps in life, will not fail, could never fail, will always accomplish its purposes in the end. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 as we close this meditation. Romans chapter 8. Again, gladly, willingly, choosing familiar passages to facilitate our response of gratitude. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even if all of creation was arrayed against you, beloved, it could not sever this great love for which we give thanks. Let's bow together in prayer as we prepare our hearts for communion. If you're a Christian, we invite you to come to the Lord's table with this sense of true thanksgiving. Even if you're just visiting with us, you're welcome to share in the table. It's the Lord's table, not ours. Father, as we come to the table, we remember the words of Scripture that says that in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace which He lavished on us. Father, as it were in our hearts, lead us to Calvary now. Lead us with grateful, trusting hearts, glad to remember our Lord, His broken body, His shed blood. Glad, Father, for the privilege of being able to come to this table together in fellowship not only with Christ, but with one another. We thank You for the love of our Savior. We thank You for the love of the saints. Father, we look up, we look down, we look to our left, we look to our right, we look ahead, we look back, and all around we see blessing and grace and kindness beyond compare. Kindness that came from Your grace, prompted by Your love, Your goodness, Your holiness, not our goodness toward You, not our love toward You, certainly not our holiness. Father, we come as those responding to grace with grateful and thankful hearts. So help us now as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
And with that, we conclude Pastor Don Green's series, Now We Thank Our God, here on the Truth Pulpit. We hope that in the midst of family, food, and yes, maybe even some sports, you take some devotional time to truly thank God for all things, material and especially eternal. Meanwhile, here again with some closing thoughts is Pastor Don.
Well, friend, as we're in the midst of this Thanksgiving Day, or for some of you as you're hearing this, probably it's coming to a close for you. Isn't it wonderful to have a holiday that hasn't been completely polluted by commercialism in the way that Christmas has? This is a time where we as Christians especially can give thanks. We step back and we remember the goodness of our God, the God who has provided us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. For many of us, we know material blessing far beyond what most people in the world do. And then we just have the blessings of family and friends all around us. But what I would have you take away today is to remember that the pinnacle of God's blessing is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He who was the ransom payment for our sin. It is He who will come back for us and receive us to Himself. It is He that has gone away to prepare a place for us in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the name above all names, and it is the name that invokes our thanks. I trust that you know Him and ask that if you don't, that you would seek Him in His Word.
And friend, don't forget to visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can learn more about this ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you back here next time on The Truth Pulpit.